Sincerely repent of them, and I pray that you and I
office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. We beseech thee, Almighty God, look upon the hearty desires of thy humble servants and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Reading from Luther's Large Catechism, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. In the light of the previous commandment, those that follow are easy to understand. They all proceed from the same point that one should guard against doing any sort of harm to the neighbor. They are arranged in excellent sequence. First, there is the focus on the person of our neighbor. Next in the sequence comes the focus on the person closest to him, the one who is his dearest treasure next to his own life, namely his wife, who is one flesh and blood with him. There's no possession of his through which greater injury could be done to him. Therefore, this commandment explicitly forbids dishonoring his wife. The emphasis here is particularly upon adultery, because marriage was obligatory among the Jewish people. Young people were married as soon as possible. The state of virginity had no special status among them. Neither was public prostitution and whoring tolerated as they are today. Thus, adultery was the most common form of unchastity among them. Since among us there is such a disgraceful mess and sludge of all manner of vice and lewdness, this commandment is aimed against every form of unchastity, whatever its name. Not only is the external act prohibited, but also every kind of source, stimulation, and means. Your heart, the words of your mouth, and your whole body are to be chaste. They are to allow no room, give no assistance, and offer no encouragement to unchastity. And that's not all. You are to defend, protect, and rescue your neighbor whenever he is in need or in danger in respect to these matters. On the positive side, you are to help and guide your neighbor so that he may keep his honor. For if you are able to prevent a wrong and yet fail to do so, or if you close your eyes to it as if it were no concern of yours, then you are just as guilty as the evildoer himself. In short, everyone is required both to live a clean life himself and to help his neighbor to do the same. Thus, by means of this commandment, God wants every husband and every wife to be guarded and protected against any trespassing. This is our confessional reading. Our Old Testament reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 22, reading from verse 1 through verse 7. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, Lord, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. This is our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Ephesus, chapter 5, reading from verse 1 through verse 9. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Here ends our epistle reading. Gospel reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, reading verses 14 through 28. Please rise. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, beginning on verse 22. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Our text this morning is the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. I'd like to call your attention at this time to verse 28, where our Lord said, "More than that, blessed are they, those who hear the word of God and keep it." Please be seated. Dr. Luther and my favorite commentator following him point to three different reactions after this deaf and dumb person is relieved of the evil spirit, the demon. Some marvel. They consider those to be, or at least include, those who became believers. Some blaspheme, saying that he was casting out demons by the prince of demons, Satan, or Beelzebub, as he's called in the text. And then there were those who were testing him, asking for a sign. Seems like they had just seen a sign, does it not? Interesting. Jesus' response to all three seems to be very similar. Very patient, even though they have blasphemed him. He lays out a rational argument, if you will. Not that you can convince people and bring them to faith by arguing them into faith. But the art of apologetics, as it's called, is using rational argumentation to remove their objections to the faith. He points out it's irrational, even maybe just silly, to think that he is casting out demons by the prince of demons. Patience, care, concern. In the other gospel accounts, he goes on to say that you can blaspheme him, but not the Holy Spirit. To reject the Holy Spirit is to reject any possibility of being saved. And then he lays out this warning, and I think even for the ears of the one who had just had the deaf and dumb spirit cast out of him, pointing out that you got to listen to what he has to say, or you'll end up in worse condition than you were. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That's the message for all three types. In fact, for all men. Hearing the word of God. He provides that word among us within the body of his church. Hearing goes on. Keeping it. What's that about? The word used here for keeping it is the word used for guarding things. It means, in regard to the word of God, taking it to heart. Those who listen to the word of God and take it to heart are those who will be blessed. Time, I think, maybe to talk about the elephant in the room, if you will. This pestilence, this plague, if you will. What do we call it?
The
Wuhan virus? I have no idea what it means that we have a worldwide pandemic. I couldn't guess how many people will die from the Wuhan virus. Some will, some have. And in that sense, it's a reminder to us all, is it not, what this season of Lent is about. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. But regardless of how this pestilence affects people physically, and how many are sick and how many die from it, it has already turned our world on its head, has it not? Did you feel the earth shaking beneath your feet this week? Professional sports, trust me, gatherings restricted in size depending on locale and the notions of those who are in charge. Is that all necessary? I don't know. But that's the way pestilence is. It disrupts. It shakes the foundations of human life, does it not? That's nothing new. 1517, excuse me. That's a date that's kind of stuck in here. 1527, 10 years later, the plague. Remember the plague, Bubani? The devastation that it wrecked in Europe in the Middle Ages? 1527, the city of Wittenberg in Germany was visited by the plague, and things were turned on their head, and the foundations of people's lives were shaken. The elector evacuated the University of Wittenberg from Wittenberg to Jena in hopes of saving lives. Dr. Luther, suffering from the physical issues, and many of them you are aware of that he had in this life, the physical issues that are in fact common to us as we live out our lives on this earth, struggling with those, he elected to remain in Wittenberg to help nurse those and care for those who were suffering from the plague, including, sometime in there, his own son, who thankfully did recover. It's in that summer that he wrote that famous hymn that's even sung in Roman Catholic churches nowadays, I hear, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." A hymn based on a favorite hymn of, or excuse me, a favorite psalm of many people, including our pastor, if you will, Psalm 46. Not long, let me read it to you. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. That word keep, hold dear. Back many, many years, more than a millennium, before the time of our gospel reading, God himself spoke to Moses and told Moses how he wanted the clergy to put his name, God's name, on his people. Listen to this from Numbers chapter 6. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. Where's that word keep? And in the Greek translation from years before Christ, it's the same word that Jesus uses in our text here. He says, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So, says God to Moses, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Be still and know that I am God. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Take me.
Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give them rest unto their soul. We pray thee, let these thy guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast, which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impatience and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his judgment. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purged with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Dear Lord, you are the great physician of soul and body. We come to you today, asking your care for this earth that is suffering from this pestilence. Keep your people in your care, grant them your grace. These and whatsoever other things thou wouldst have us ask of thee, O God, grant unto us for the sake of the bitter sufferings and death of Jesus Christ, thine only Son, our Lord and Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, man's life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore praising thee and saying, Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and drink.
This is the true body.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you
for the remission of your sins.
Take,
eat. This is the true body.
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all your sins.
Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you. Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith, with the life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace.
Amen.
Things are looking good. I'm on track, whatever that track meeting. I hope to, I'm planning on teaching Tuesday morning Bible study this week and Wednesday evening Bible study this week. Okay, so that can change, but I don't think it will. I just want to thank everybody for the cards, the prayers, and just the basic concern. I'm still a little weak, as you can tell. I'd like to thank Pastor Wolf for stepping in, Pastor Urenak for stepping in. One thing I did learn, I learned this, especially when our son was going through his treatment. It's easy to ask for healing. It's easy to accept healing. What is difficult is to accept God's will. So in my prayers didn't stress so much my healing. My prayers would express the strength to accept God's will. And I think that is so important that we overlook it. I don't want a God who's going to bow to my wishes. I want a God who will give me the strength to deal with whatever His will is. And I think all of us have experienced at times that His will sometimes is not easy to accept. But I'm so thankful that God has given me the strength, along with my wife, a strength to deal with the situation, and we're going to come out on top. But once again, I simply want to say thank you, all of you, for the cards, the prayers, the visits, the putting up the ramp to get me out of there on time, because I was about ready to go nuts. one thing I did learn, there are a lot of people who are worse off than I am. And I think that in itself is a blessing. But once again, I just, on behalf of my wife, myself, thank you. I mean, what more can we say but thank you? God bless. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you.
Oh, leave in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to gather this morning around Word and Sacrament to hear your precious Word, and we ask that your Holy Spirit now gives us the ability to keep it. We ask now that you bless the food that we are about to receive and those who have prepared it, and finally prepare us and protect us for whatever is ahead, and return us home each week, return each of us at home this evening at the end of the day. We approach your throne in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'm supposed to greet people. Oh, you shake your head.
You can do it without shaking. Touch your face.
Do you want? No hugs or kisses?
No.
Stay 6 feet away from us.
Just to bring you all up to date on what's taking place, we're extending, the elders are extending the judgment service through April. So we will continue with the judgment worship service through that time. Also, we're looking at probably dispensing with the food after the service. We're going to have a meeting of the elders and the trustees will meet after worship. And then also, on Easter Sunday, we'll just have one joint worship service. So that's where we're at now. One other thing, on our website, those of you that have internet, Synodical President Harrison has a message, and I would encourage anybody that has internet service to go to the Zion website, it is posted on there, and listen to it. It's very informative about this virus. And then other than that, take care. We're talking about not shaking hands in this situation. So take care.